This is Free Talk Live. Welcome back to the show. We're so glad you've stuck with us. Continue to listen. Go to archives.freetalklive.com. Check out all the MP3 archives going back for several years. And that is thanks to HostGator.com, of course, for hosting those. And, well, we were talking with Steve before the break. And, Steve, are you still with us? Steve, listening from Tampa? Yes. So, before the break, we were discussing notions of what a society would be like with no government. And, Steve, you were kind of saying that, well, this seems kind of pie in the sky. You guys, maybe you don't have too much experience in the real world, and where has this ever happened? And I know that, you know, we had some thoughts we were sharing with you. You were kind of absorbing them. Gardner and Brett did have some more stuff that they wanted to say to you, but what did you think of what we were saying so far?
Well, it was very smooth, and then if we had the Star Trek theme behind it, it would probably sound really good, but... I'm sort of a warrior, so I look into warrior things in the past, and a bunch of Vikings on an island 500 years ago were not playing happy. You know, it was still dog eat dog, and there's a lot of references to these sort of things, but Iceland was not the, you know, I hear this. It's like trying to tell me everything's great in Europe, or I should be in France right now where they were the most liberal, one of the most liberal countries in the world. Then look at them now. But
well, Steve, we wouldn't tell you that. And I just want to say, you know, this is a kind of, it doesn't matter. Like, what if there had never been an example of this working? Because to me, and tell me what you think, and I understand where you're coming from, but this is very much a kind of political thinking. It's a cage that our minds are put into, right? Because we go through our whole lives thinking about politics in terms of left and right instead of right and wrong. So everything is just these binary choices, up, down, this or that, win or lose, especially.
Well, I'll give you an example. I've been running
One second, Steve, okay, and then right. I'll let you do it. But imagine, like you said, you introduced your call and you said, well, you guys need to show me an example or a plan for this to work. I mean, imagine if we all had to sit around, the royal we in this case, as a civilization, because somebody said, well, show me an example of a car that ever moved, or show me an example of a carriage that ever moved without a horse attached to it, when people were talking about advancing transportation. Or when people had the courage in the middle of the 19th century to stand up to slavery, and the response was, well, show me a field of cotton that ever got picked without slavery.
Yeah, right? It's unrealistic.
Just because those things had never happened doesn't mean that it's not worth talking about a world in a world where they can happen.
Yeah, it's almost, yeah.
Well, I think the whole problem with the whole concept is that it's human nature. It's the nature of the beast. You can, I've been running an 18-year experiment. I decided to take my son and not expose him to a lot of things and do exactly what we went down the love track. I mean, anything, everything, you know, very stable. You get these kids out and certain areas. He came into a completely different religious, the whole thing, gets in the crew, and then they start doing weird things. And the problem, you would have to set such a stringent set of rules. You would have to monitor these children day in, day out, because they're not going to be those little lovely flower children. We tried that.
I'm a child of the
60s, so, you know, I was there for all the hippie love and all that stuff, and it didn't really work out too well.
Well, Steve, thank you for the call tonight. We are getting this strange echo. I think we're going to talk about this a little bit
I had some questions I wanted to ask Steve.
Sorry about that, Gar.
Oh, that's okay. And Steve, I'll throw these off as hypotheticals for you right now. But maybe if he wants to call back, I don't know how the policy works. But Steve, let me just ask you a couple questions. First of all, who stops more crimes every year? Armed citizens or the police? Armed citizens. Who gets there after the crimes occur, most cases? The police. Do they prevent the crimes?
When seconds count, they're minutes too late, right?
Exactly.
They bring the chalk, though.
Right. So already you're talking about a non-government force, which is actually the strongest local protection that you have, the individual. Okay? Second, in arguing against the example that I gave of the Vikings and so on, you actually, in a way, support my thesis and undercut your own in many ways. Because what I said was the Vikings lasted for 500 years with a non-state system, a non-government system, which was called the Goddard system, based on people who built temples, and you could come and go, and they had an entire judicial arbitration system, which was not a government judicial arbitration system.
Right, and that's longer than any government system, right? The Roman Empire, that any other.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have various things, and then, well, then you've got the Celtic. The Celts had an interesting system as well that was also non-governmental for a number of years, and the worry that. He compares that to the utopian French and their socialism and things like that, and that the Vikings had to be tough and so on. Yeah, they had to be tough. They had to defend themselves, and it was nothing like European socialism. It was completely different.
He's picturing these hordes of people just going around attacking each other, I don't think that's true.
That's
yeah.
right. And the final question I would ask him is this. Do you, and I brought this up to some of the kids at a school where I spoke recently, and I said, do you think that you need to have a buying buddy with you or a friend buddy with you to determine whether or not all of the market engagements in which you're going to engage, the purchases and sales, are proper? All of the friendships, all the time that you spend with your friends, whether that is proper or not, whether possibly speaking to someone over a line drawn on a map is proper, whether that is acceptable or unacceptable, and who determines that? And, of course, the moral question is this, and I think Brett would probably get there. If he believes, in the end, that government, the state, is still necessary, would he impose it on me?
Can you opt out?
Because I'd like to be left alone.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of other people who would like to be left alone. And guess what? We have skills. Some of us have skills to defend ourselves, even though we weren't in the military. And some of us will use our money to hire people to help protect us. Maybe, rather than looking at the state option, that he says he could be the anarchic option that he says he would dominate because he would fight, maybe he could sell his protective services and become very wealthy by being a reasonable person. And people would not shun him, and they would actually hire him to be a protector.
Yeah.
That is called voluntarism. You see, in the voluntary world, we can shun the people we don't like. We can get rid of those people. You gain a bad reputation for being a thief, for screwing somebody over. But in the government world, there's an insulation factor, and they have completely different incentives.
And in fact, you're forced to pay for the person who's a victim of a theft or an assault or whatever is victimized twice, because
exactly.
they're forced to pay for putting their aggressor in jail, and they've also been victimized by the aggressor.
Right,
so,
right.
And as Brett said, Brett was saying before that your example with how would a cart go without a horse, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it almost kind of bogs you down to get caught up in these kind of pragmatic how would things be without a government arguments.
Yeah.
I think it's more important to focus on the system we have now is using force on people, right?
Right.
It's using force, initiating aggression in order to control people's behavior. And how that's not okay.
But the thing, Stephanie, I'm sorry to jump in, but I think a lot of people who are trained in the constitutional side and lauding the founding fathers and so on, their default position is always, well, the Constitution is good enough, you see. And they'll look at it as, if we have states that are small areas of control, of government control, that are competing with one another, they would be satisfied with that. It'd be a heck of a lot better than we have now, but it would still be an immoral system. At least you could escape from one state to another, one town to another, if you have smaller areas of control than the large, giant area of control that pulls everybody in and makes us fight against each other for all the resources and everything like that.
Yeah.
But again, the moral question is not addressed, and they're willing to overlook the moral question because they will praise the founders. The guys during the revolution sacrificed a lot, many of them. Others did not, and we don't hear too much about that. So that's their default position. They don't want to address our questions because they say, I'm satisfied with the Constitution if we just go back to states' rights.
Indeed, and more coming up when we return. This is Free Talk Live. Call us at 1-800-259-9231. We do have lots of calls on the line, but we'll be looking forward to talking with you and taking your call. Free Talk Live.
Okay, here's the long and the short of it. If you name the worst politicians in America today, Nancy Pelosi is going to be on your top 10 list. She's awful, and she's powerful. There is a principled anti-war Republican running against her, however, and his name is John Dennis. He's already beaten the establishment Republican in the primary, but he's going to need all of the financing he can get to bring down the political juggernaut that is Nancy Pelosi. He can do it, but only with your help. I've donated to John Dennis's campaign, and I would like to encourage you to also. Now is the time. Nancy Pelosi is politically vulnerable, and it's unlikely that we're going to get another candidate like John Dennis. He's the only type of Republican that can win in San Francisco. In my opinion, he is as, if not more, principled than Ron Paul. Go to johndennis2010.com and donate today. johndennis2010.com. He is Hope for America.
This ad paid for by John Dennis for Congress 2010. johndennis2010.com.
I'm John Dennis, and I approve this ad.
Hi, this is Dwayne Daly with Midas Resources, Precious Metals Brokers, and my phone number is 800-686-2237, extension 115. If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then perhaps it's time for a change. You have the opportunity to make a change in November by voting, and the opportunity to make a change in your financial security today by calling me, Dwayne Daly. Get the stability and peace of mind that you deserve with gold and silver, a form of wealth protection for 5,000 years. As the inflation pinch becomes tighter and the dollar continues to devalue, while stocks remain iffy at best, stop the bleeding with precious metals. Metals will let you retain your purchasing power, protect your assets, and stop inflation the day you get in. I have many different ways to accomplish this, from metals for possession to IRA rollovers, tax-free, and everything in between. So if you would like to turn your scrambled nest egg into a souffle, call me, Dwayne Daly, at 800-686-2237, extension 115. 800-686-2237, extension 115. If you are ready for a change, please call Dwayne Daly.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, boating, tow line, shipyard, or decoration. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive a free 100 feet of 550 paracord. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
Go solar for cheap. Want to use solar power but the price is too high? Now you can build your own solar panels for less than $200 at 123cheapsolar.com. Don't laugh. We've sold over 45,000 solar do-it-yourself kits. Watch the step-by-step videos that even non-handyman types can use. We offer a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to 123cheapsolar.com or call 800-713-0486. 800-713-0486. Reduce your foreign oil dependency when you go green with 123cheapsolar.com.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. Why Ali-C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Ali-C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Ali-C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Ali-C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Ali-C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Ali-C today.
This is Free Talk Live. You can call in and take control at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live. Welcome back. We're so glad to have you with us. If you want to listen to Free Talk Live on your cell phone, go to m.freetalklive.com. Check us out there. Many other listening options are also available at the website at freetalklive.com. And do you have a company that needs to try something new in the area of collections? SACL CAI does collections, early out billing, and they purchase charged off receivables. SACL's employees are trained in resolving issues for your customers and treating them with respect. They know that not only do you want to collect your money, but you want to keep those clients too. SACL CAI, check out their banner at freetalklive.com. do business with businesses that support FTL. So this is Stephanie here with you tonight.
And Guard.
And Brett.
And gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us tonight. This has been really fun so far. Our phone lines are blowing up, but there's still more time in the show for you to add your thoughts to the discussion. Call us at 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. And, of course, that is the SACL CAI toll-free line. And Brett looks like he's got something to say.
I just have one. I thought of this during the break. I felt kind of bad that we had a not-so-good phone connection with Steve there because we kind of played, like, the oldest trick in talk radio in the book
come
on
in
him,
after him.
Where
yeah.
we cut him off, and then we try to answer his question for 5 minutes, and, oh, well, I guess you got nothing else to say.
That's
not nice,
right?
Yeah.
That's the pretty standard Limbaugh Hannity maneuver right there.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry,
so, and it is... It's good to get that feedback going back and forth where we can talk and actually, you know, sort of learn from each other. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I do think that some of the other callers who are waiting on the line right now will probably have some similar things that'll lead into the points that we wanted to discuss with Steve. So why don't we bring on Bill in St. Petersburg. Bill, are you there? You wanted to talk about fiefdoms.
Bill is here. Yes.
Excellent. So what was on your mind, Bill?
Well, I was listening to the discussion here, and first off, let me say I'm enjoying it, and I'm trying to parse this all out, you know, I'm not a history buff per se, you know. University history for me was you know, U.S. history 1776 forward, you know what I mean? I get this big gap of medieval ages, you know, and then we get into ancient stuff, which was doesn't really apply. But for tonight's discussion, sitting here listening, I'm going like, well, gee, guys, not really much difference if we took medieval times as an example, an architectural model to apply here with fiefdoms, right, and the towns and the, you know, the guy, the big man at the top of the hill who owned the property and who had a cluster of people living about his area, and he, you know, their allegiance was kind of twofold. You know,
you're talking about serfdom?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And many people draw comparisons between the system now and serfdom, right? Because, you know, if you live in a house, you're forced to pay property taxes on it, right? You don't actually really own your property.
But I think what he's saying is that an anarchic system, a non-government system, would just devolve into the strongest guy becoming the king and everybody supporting him. That's often the argument that we hear from people.
Is that sort of addressing? Did Gardner understand you correctly, Bill? Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, that's right. There are a few parts here, you know, and it's no pure model, if you will, you know, but, you know, the amalgam of it, you know, is really what both of you just said, you know, and it's just, you know, I guess relative to our Constitution, I hear, you know, many people today, as you've noted, you know, oh yeah, Constitution, you know, we stand by it and we stand on it and we believe it and, you know, it's great and all that.
Well, Bill, let's address that. Let's address what you've said so far before you go any further about the feudal system, okay?
Yeah.
The feudal system existed throughout, you know, most of medieval times, you know, from probably the fall of the Byzantine Empire up until the Age of Enlightenment. All that period is pretty much the medieval age, right? Now, we're talking about an idea that time might be coming soon. Maybe not even right now, but, you know, 10 years from now, a generation from now, something that we can start working towards now. Such an idea would not have worked 600 years ago because that was before the Age of Reason. So if a feudal serf went, who had just been born into this system, went to the feudal lord and said, hey, you know, I realize you, it looks like you have a pretty great life. You live up on the hill there. You dress nice. You eat fancy food. I see you're having some lemonade. How come I have to sleep in a shack with 9 other people and a goat after doing 18 hours of farm labor every day? Well, what would the feudal lord have said? Well, God has a plan for you. You know, God, this is what God wants for you. So we've moved beyond, or we are moving beyond, that mythology that can be used to control people. So then he says, oh, well, go be a good little serf. And then if you, you know, if you do a nice job out in the field, we can come in and I'll read you, you know, a few passages from the only book you've ever seen, the Bible. Right? So we are finally moving out of that age of pre-logic where religion, you know, people are certainly entitled and welcome to whatever spiritual beliefs they have, but because we've incorporated science now, they can't be used to control people. Do you see how that works?
Yes, yes, absolutely. Understand. And what I would say, too, is that the point, too, from what you just said was that these you know, we're when you look at what's happening today and the unrest with the masses, if you will, over that and the discontent across a number of areas, you know, is that we're steering ourselves, whether we like it or not, I think, you know, toward a direction where part of this is going to evolve, you know what I mean, and it will be part of the new model of structure of power. I guess constitutionally we had that, and you know, as far as a cornerstone, you know, on which we built the rest of the foundation.
Yeah,
but
I don't know about that bill constitutionally, but we do have a lot of other calls on the line, so I think we're going to have to let you go. And thanks for the thoughts tonight.
Thanks, Bill. And just a real quick point about those people who think that a non-state system would devolve into a feudal king-lord system.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I think is important for anybody to understand is, not understand, but for people to just think about, I don't want to sound so, you know, aggressive to say, you've got to understand this, but one of the things that I think is interesting to ponder is that in the history of man, you did not need government to do certain things, and the system did not break down. One of those things is trade. The other is the means by which you conduct the trade. Human beings acting of their own volition amongst other human beings who want to maximize their pleasure and minimize their pain and exclude bad actors who will gain bad reputations begin trading with each other because we all have different skills and interests and we do what we're good at or most interested in. So you get division of labor leads to trade.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Barter systems become fairly complex because maybe the guy who wants his trees cut down doesn't want the goat that you've got, but somebody else who likes cocoa wants a goat. And this guy, you got to see whether the first guy wants cocoa, and it becomes multi-person bartering. It's very frustrating. So organically, without a king, without a president, without even a parliament or a representative body that supposedly makes us all we the people, which is bogus.
Yeah.
People organically, in order to facilitate trade, came up with something called money. And you would not have trade, you would not have money, which preceded government, if you needed to have government. Government came in when certain interests found it within their best interest to start aggregating the power to themselves, and it all had to do with writing the laws down,
getting their little tentacles into everybody's business.
Right.
Indeed. When we return, we have many multiple calls on the line. We're still looking forward to your call at 800-259-9231. This is Free Talk Live. We'll be back.
What is a wind generator?
How can the wind produce power for a small cabin?
How can wind energy be stored and used during an emergency?
Can I assemble my own wind generator?
For answers to questions about wind power, visit windbluepower.com. Did you know the wind could provide your family with emergency power? It can with a wind generator from windbluepower.com. Learn how our amazing LifeBreeze wind generator can start charging a 12-volt battery and just 6 mile per hour wind. Or see the new Cyclone X2 dual kit featuring two wind generators on just one tower. And learn why schools and universities across the country utilize our products to teach about wind power and alternative energy at windbluepower.com. All kits qualify for a 30% IRS tax credit for residential energy efficient property. Enter coupon code RADIO for a 5% discount at windbluepower.com. That's windbluepower.com or call 800-976-0026. That's 800-976-0026.
Most people know that drinking pure high alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Take a minute and hear what I'm about to tell you. You might have heard about Life Change Tea on a radio commercial or a TV commercial. And you did what many people do. You tuned out. I understand. Now the facts. When health fails, you will do just about anything for better health. So why wait? Read our testimonies of better health by drinking Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com. And how much does missing work cost you when you're sick? Get ahead of the sick curve. Get the tea. Here's how to order. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea, T-E-A.com. Or you can call one of our friendly operators, 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Our tea tastes great, and we'll help you with your health, and you can even lose weight. So again, try us out at GetTheTea.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can call in and take control at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live. Thank you so much for listening. This is Stephanie here with you.
And Guard.
And Brett.
And I just wanted to make sure that we did recognize Gardner and Brett for their wonderful podcast. Want to promote what they're doing, spreading the message of liberty. And, of course, we are talking about liberty tonight. Gardner has his wonderful podcast, The Liberty Conspiracy, which you can find at libertyconspiracy.com. Is that right?
10-4, good buddy. We got ourselves a convoy. Freedom is out of fashion.
And, of course, Brett Vinat from the School Sucks podcast. You can find him at schoolsucksproject.com.
Indeed.
Is that
I
right?
I love these titles, School Sucks and Liberty Conspiracy. It's easy to remember. It's like, all right, you know?
But people say it's so juvenile. I always get that. Schools, how could you? How could you name something that?
Well, it's not, because, I mean, if you think about it, you know, the school system is sucking off the productive capacity of everyone who's forced to pay for it and forced to attend, and having their creativity and curiosity sucked out of them as well.
Sucks all the best attributes out of us as little kids, replaces it with obedience, conformity, and apathy. But then, once all that stuff's gone, and the obedience, conformity, and apathy is there, you're ready for citizenship.
You got it.
You're ready to vote. You're ready to pay your taxes. You're ready to cheer for people like George Bush and Barack Obama.
Soup is good food.
So is Kool-Aid.
Yeah, exactly.
Indeed. And if you want to check out my show, I do a show called Pork Therapy, where we talk about relationships from a liberty-oriented perspective. You can find me at Pork Therapy, P-O-R-C-Therapy.com. Now, our phones have been just blowing up tonight, but first I wanted to tell you about the AMP program. Advertise, Market, and Promote is what it stands for. And if you become an amplifier, you pay $3 a month to help spread the message of liberty far and wide through Free Talk Live. And you can go to amp.freetalklive.com to get the details, find out all the perks you can get if you become an amplifier. So we did actually have a call on the AMP lines. That's one of the perks that you can get when you sign up. But I believe he dropped off, was going to tell us a good cop story. So, Matt, if you're interested, you can call back. Meanwhile, we go to our other phone lines, and I think we're going to bring on Sam in Myrtle Beach, who wanted to talk about Obama. Are you there, Sam?
Sam, hi, how's it going?
Hi, Sam. What's on your mind tonight?
I just wanted to get back to Obama for a moment. You were talking about he appears to be indecisive. There are two very basic reasons for that. I believe number one is his obvious lack of executive experience. The man has no executive experience. Obviously, then some indecision comes from that. But the main reason is he has a real chance to be reelected in 2012. He's not going to show his real socialist side, his real socialist cards until then, even though if you read his books, he is very close to Marxist professors. He says it. You just read what he's written. He's left-wing all the way. But he's not going to come out and show that. He'll appear indecisive to the liberals because he is not going to show it. Now, in 2012, if he's reelected, you'll see really what he is all about.
So he's playing possum. Is that what you're saying?
That's my point. Sorry. Yeah.
You're saying he's basically playing possum. He's not
exactly.
showing us all his cards.
See, you know, it's funny because I haven't felt that he's been indecisive at all. He had an agenda. In fact, many of the Republican commentators were saying, oh, he's going to wait till after his first year in office to really start pushing for the health reform initiative that he wants, which is just medical fascism and patently unconstitutional and also completely immoral and economically destructive. But he moved on it within the first 6 months. He moved fast. I think he's trying to get as much done as he possibly can, and the only thing that's holding him up is the fact that most of his economic policies in the Federal Reserve are absolutely destructive, and more people are starting to realize, oh, I'm screwed in my business. So the economy is doing pretty bad, and he's having a hard time with that. But he's been pushing a lot of his agenda, so, you know, I don't see where he's been indecisive anywhere.
Well, the main indecisive point would be, say, Afghanistan. Our foreign policy now with him is a joke, simply because he says we're going to build up troops now, then we're going to pull them out. So he's going to tell them exactly what we're going to do. Why tell the enemy exactly where you're going to go? That's a point of indecision.
Well,
I mean, there are several others.
Let me ask you a quick question. You mentioned executive experience and indecision, and then you also mentioned we in Afghanistan. First, what is your opinion about executive experience, and how does that tie into the executive branch? And then my follow-up would be, if that is the case, why would he be in Afghanistan at all if he is the chief executive when the Congress declares war, which they have not declared?
Well, most of the former presidents have had executive experience mainly in being former governors, and that is executive experience. Even in Arkansas, that would even be considered executive experience for Bill Clinton. But seriously, on the as far as Afghanistan goes, though, I just believe that his foreign policy is just completely dictated by the left. And there's really no room for him to move on that because that's his whole core of, you know, that's his whole core of people that vote for him.
Just real quick. If you're saying he's supposed to be chief executive and he's not acting like the other chief executives, the chief executive in the White House swears an oath to protect and defend the United States Constitution, as do everyone who enters the military, correct?
That's right.
Okay. There has been no declaration of war in Afghanistan, correct?
That's correct.
Which means that the military operation there is operating in a fashion that is contrary to what?
Well, it's,
the Constitution.
Yeah, absolutely. Unconstitutional
so,
if he doesn't declare war.
Right. He does not. It's the Congress which has not, and he took over after George Bush. So he is now functionally operating in an unconstitutional military conflict. Therefore, if he were the chief executive, he would order all those troops out immediately, would he not? The chief executive who defends the Constitution, would he not?
Well, yeah, he should. He really
right.
should do that.
Exactly.
Yeah. And Sam, thank you so much for the call tonight. I think we've got to move on, but I know, Brett, you probably had some thoughts on this, but it was Randolph Warren who said, war is the health of the state, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, I mean, I kind of just wanted to touch on that because, you know, the reasons for being in these wars in the Middle East are so, you know, kind of spurious. And even if Congress had declared war, do you think that would make it right? I don't think so.
My question was, what was meant by the phrase a foreign policy dictated by the left? Like Vietnam, Korea, World War II, Woodrow Wilson, like
great
that's
point.
The left.
Yeah.
Okay, so what, these people are not pacifists. It's not like one side, oh, you know, we're strong and we're going to protect you, and the other side is like, oh, no, we should have peace. They're all, you know, people who get into that kind of power, like I said, it just goes back to these basic principles, the basic psychological profile of the people who want that kind of power over others. Those kind of people don't mind killing other people. right? Or don't mind making decisions that lead to the deaths of innocent people.
And another quick question, real quick. I know you want to get over to the next calls. Is those people who think that if the United States government does not send troops over there in an unconstitutional war, and right now, like I said, like we discussed in the first hour, we're just talking on the constitutional level to show the hypocrisy of both of these sides.
Yeah.
But, you know, you make a great point. Even if they were to declare war, would that be proper? The point is, what rationale do people offer? Well, I've heard from many of the people who are on the conservative side, well, we're fighting a war on terror. Again, use of the term war in a very slippery, loose, nonsensical way. It's not a war. It's a military attack. And what are we supposedly seeing the government do? Are they stopping the terrorism? Are they inspiring more?
Yeah.
And what exactly were the terrorists and are the terrorists trying to do? And when you ask that question, typically what you encounter is, well, they're trying to bring us down.
Yeah, they hate us because of our freedom,
because
right?
Of our freedom and so on and so forth. They're trying to destroy America. And then you say, well, define that, destroy America. What do you mean? Well, they're trying to bring us down, which is just restating the argument. And you say, look,
yeah,
how? What are they going to invade?
It kind of just becomes a truism after a certain point, you know,
right.
Because there's no, it's kind of circular reasoning.
And,
you know?
And what you need to do is look at what Osama bin Laden wrote as his four planks for attacking the United States, which
yes.
Has nothing to do with American culture, Christianity, or anything. It had to do with America's alliance with Israel, which they hate, America's bases on sacred Saudi soil,
mm-hmm.
The embargo against Iraq, and flyovers against Iraq. They were four
basically
flanks.
All just meddling in the Middle East.
Precisely.
And yes.
It's a jihad. That's it.
Absolutely. So we do have some other calls on the line. Thank you so much for being patient and hanging on. When we return, we'll delve more into this, as well as we have a couple of George Bush supporters, so we're going to talk to them. Feel free to give us a call at 800-259-9231. That is, of course, the SACL CAI toll-free line. And we will be back shortly with more about Bush, Obama, whatever's on your mind. This is Free Talk Live.
How long can you hold your breath? Not long. After air, water is the most critical factor for life. There are dozens of toxic substances in tap water, even pharmaceutical drugs that city processing can't remove. Sadly, most bottled water isn't much better. The chemicals in the bottles themselves are a serious health concern and a huge environmental problem. Filtering your own drinking water is the logical answer. You'll have a much better quality of water and save a bunch of money, too. Aquasana filters are thorough and more affordable per gallon than even pitcher-type filters. Aquasana is consistently voted the best choice by consumers. Digest. The filters are easy to use and install. Call 866-NO-BOTTLE to order or link online through freetalklive.com. If you'd like a 20% discount, and who wouldn't, when ordering online, use the discount code FTL. Again, that's FTL. Or call toll-free 866-NO-BOTTLE and tell them we sent you to get a great discount on all Aquasana products. Drink smart. 1-866-NO-BOTTLE.
You're listening to America Now on the Genesis Communications Network. Join us each Saturday evening at 7 Pacific, 10 Eastern, for 4 hours of refreshing yet provocative discussion. You can also join us online anytime at AmericaNow.com. That's AmericaNow.com. America Now, a voice of hope for a troubled world.
You're listening to America Now on the Genesis Communications Network. Please join us next Saturday when our very special guest will be Dr. Dan Junker. You can also join us online anytime at AmericaNow.com. That's AmericaNow.com. America Now, a voice of hope for a troubled world.
To ship a vehicle safely from point A to point B, which company should you choose? Easy. Stateway Auto Transport. Why trust Patriot-owned Stateway Auto Transport? Many reasons. Stateway is not just a broker, but a fully licensed and bonded carrier with its own fleet of trucks and $1 million of cargo coverage insurance. With Stateway, your vehicle rides safely on a direct route on the same truck, and your shipment is always door-to-door with no hidden fees, and every shipment includes free online vehicle tracking. Simply put, Stateway Auto Transport is the best, most efficient, quickest, and friendliest worldwide shipper in the business. To receive a free quote from a live customer service representative, call 877-848-7474 or see us online at statewayauto.com. That's statewayauto.com or call 877-848-7474. Ask about discounts for seniors, military, and all GCN listeners. Stateway Auto Transport, your one-stop shop for worldwide vehicle transport.
Soon we'll be shutting our doors and windows, shutting out fresh air for months. Did you know you're also keeping in allergens, bacteria, and germs that cause colds and flu? What if there was a low-cost way of blanketing your home with clean air? There is. Introducing the AeroAsis 3000 Air Purifier. It utilizes new patent-pending nanotechnology, producing a blanket of oxidizers that cleans the air and sanitizes the surfaces. Imagine not spreading the cold or flu bug to everyone around you. AeroAsis 3000 Air Purifier. Purifiers are made in the USA, come with a 3-year warranty, have no filters to replace, no grids to clean, and require no maintenance for 3 years. Try the AeroAsis 3000 Air Purifier risk-free for 30 days. JCN listeners, get $100 off when you order at breathebetterair.com or call 806-477-0322. That's 806-477-0322. And get the best air purifier for the best price at breathebetterair.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can call in and take control at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live. We're back and we're so glad you're here with us. This is Stephanie here with you tonight.
Vanguard.
And Brett.
Indeed, and I'm so glad to have these two wonderful, intelligent gentlemen joining me in the studio tonight. If you like the show and you want to help us out, go to amazon.freetalklive.com. Percentage of each sale goes back to the show, and it doesn't change the normal prices that you pay. Quick and easy way to help out your favorite radio program. And I need to tell you about the Totesac. It's the one-trip wonder for hauling goods from your vehicle to your home, and it's now available to fundraisers and small independent resellers of general merchandise. Totesac is a retail grocery bag carrier that handles more than you can. Visit totesac.us on the net and write to us. Or if you wish to purchase, click through to get a couple or a family pack of six. Wholesale orders welcome with generous discounts. The original green thing that has been available since 1997. And we're back. This is Free Talk Live, the show about your calls. You can give us a call at 800-259-9231. That is, of course, the SACL CAI toll-free line. And we've had a couple of callers who have been hanging on really patiently on the lines. One of those was, Sean. And Sean, I believe, is a Bush supporter listening in Indiana. Are you there, Sean?
Yes, and no, I'm not a Bush supporter. I was calling in to rebut one of the original guys who was a Bush supporter.
I see. Thank you for the call. So why don't you tell us more about that?
Sure. He came on and stated, you know, and trying to explain some differences between Bush and Obama, that Bush wanted to get rid of the assault weapons ban. Well, it's from the Washington Post. There's an article here, and there's a quote from Scott McClellan, who was the White House spokesman. It says, the president supports the current law and supports reauthorizing the current law. And Bush said during his presidential campaign that he supported the assault weapon ban. And then also he stated that Bush never instituted anything on the level of the mandate that Obama has instituted with health care. Well, if you look at the way that Bush was trying to privatize Social Security, what he was doing was, instead of giving the money back to the people so that they could invest it any way they saw fit, he instead was going to take Social Security funds and have the government invest it for us. Therefore, to me, that's basically the same thing as the government telling me how to spend my money.
Yes, indeed. I mean, it's just empty rhetoric, and there's really no difference between them. Wait, Brett is looking like he has something to say.
I'm sorry. I know.
No,
I always
that's good.
Look like that. I'm sorry. Well, you know, Sean, you were on hold for a long time, and I was just saying during the break, we spent a lot of time tonight talking about these, you know, crazy, violent, authoritarian, sociopathic strangers who don't care about any of us. Mm-hmm. So, you know, since you spent so much time on hold, where are you coming from on all of this politically? You said you're not, you know, a Bush supporter. Where do you come from?
I originally started as a Democrat supporter in high school. You know, I was an anybody but Bush person. I thought Bush was the Antichrist who was basically sent here to, you know, destroy everything that was built holy in this country. Then after some conversations I had with one of my more liberty-oriented friends, although he was not anywhere near as in liberty as you guys were, he started opening me up to it. And then about the Ron Paul campaign came up, and I was, you know, inundated over and over again after I learned about Ron Paul and took the action to learn more about it. I got more involved, and I've since now, you know, starting from what is commonly referred to today as the left, I've now shifted towards the libertarian, which is, as the Nolan chart shows, up, not really to the right.
Yes.
Yeah, above it
and
all.
You can go to the world's smallest political quiz to check that out.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I've now, even since I feel, moved past that to more of an anarcho-capitalist side. But I don't really like using the word anarcho-capitalist because it infers again that capitalism is some type of means. I'm more of a voluntary, like you guys always argue, I'm a voluntary society person.
Mm-hmm.
And a voluntary society doesn't necessarily mean that I have to, you know, respect private property per se, as long as I'm voluntarily entering into the agreement that the property that I own is collectively owned by other people. And so there was a great article put up by a Center for a Stateless Society that talked about this, how anarcho-capitalism, and I believe Ian and Mark had talked about this earlier this week, that the idea that anarcho-capitalism cannot exist, and I believe that in the sense of capitalism as the term capitalism, because if you have a completely voluntary world, you know, people are going to enter into so many different types of agreements that you know, one group might want a complete property style, you know, property rights built society. Others might like the idea of some sort of collective ownership.
Like a co-op, you know, or something.
Yeah, a co-op. And all those things are completely available and worthwhile, as long as, in my opinion, it comes back to the basic points of you're not forcing or coercing anybody to do anything against their will.
Absolutely, Sean. Very well said. And thank you so much for the call tonight. We really appreciate your perspective. I think probably all of us may describe ourselves as voluntarist or voluntarious.
Yeah, I moved away from the whole anarcho-capitalist. It does have that sort of connotation where it conjures up a picture of, like, you know, somebody who's throwing bombs,
big money
with a
guys,
big cigar, and a
yes,
price
exactly.
Suit.
Yeah. And it's very interesting because Sheldon Richman from Foundation for Economic Education, one of the greatest libertarian thinkers around, Sheldon a while ago said, "Look, I think it's time that we try to move away or drop the use of the term capitalism." He says it was actually a term that was started by Marx, and I said, "Yeah, that's interesting," and move towards free market, voluntarism, and things like that. And I think capitalism is often misunderstood to mean, especially when I talk to some of my friends over in the UK who are hardcore socialists, they think that it means what Adam Smith described as mercantilism. They think it's government helping certain special interest businesses.
Yes.
And
crony capitalism, right?
Right, crony capitalism.
Corporatism.
Yeah. So if we can get away from that, that's great. And one of the things I think is interesting to say, what he had to say is very interesting, because a lot of people say, well, look, you have to have private property in order to survive. What he's saying is we create our own social modes of acceptable behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't need to go to some higher government authority to say, please, sir, write these down. And we will let you forcibly take whatever you want from us. You don't need that. You can do private arrangements with people, come up with your own arrangements, and say, these are the rules. And what I believe was one of the biggest mistakes just prior to the Enlightenment period was when the people from the feudal system actually started to have their common law rules, the societal modes of acceptable behavior, written down.
Hmm.
Because the minute you have them written down, then someone is going, whoever you're having writing them down, the government, whatever.
Someone's
going
to go, oh, I can write down whatever I want.
I'm going to write more. I'll write this. Oh, I'll write this to help my friends do this. I'm going to, and that is the beginning of the end.
I mean, morality kind of goes without saying in most instances, right?
Precisely.
You don't hit people. You don't take their stuff.
Exactly. And generally speaking, you know, you can get deeply into the philosophy on this, but generally speaking, people try to maximize pleasure and minimize pain. When they encounter other people who are trying to do the same, they come up with mutually agreeable modes of behavior that say you will do the most you can do without hurting me, and mm-hmm. I'll be able to do the most I can do without hurting you.
Yeah.
And so you don't need the government. You don't need John Locke to write all this stuff now, because we organically are wired this way, generally speaking, and we exclude the bad guys. We try to push them out.
Indeed. And I think we do have a caller on the line who wants to talk about this very thing that we're discussing right now. Ladies do come first on Free Talk Live. So we have Vicki in Clearwater, Florida. And Vicki, are you there with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you so much for calling. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, I mean, I really like what you guys are saying. I've never even heard any of this before. And the idea of, you know, enforcing anything on anybody, is, I really appreciate that, and using force. But my concern is that, you know, in the third world countries, you have these thugs that run these countries, and they use force and guns, and the people are completely oppressed. Can't do anything. They can't even overthrow these people if they want. So what is to prevent that if we don't have a government that some guy who's got a bunch of guns and he just takes over and we're stuck?
That's an excellent question. Brett looks like he has some thoughts too.
Well, I think right now one of the reasons why that happens is because those people are incentivized to be thugs because of the way foreign aid money moves in and out of countries. Remember, too, that the people who are distributing foreign aid from government have no incentive to see that it really winds up where it needs to be. And we hear about this. I mean, right now, one of the things that's happening in Africa, Northern Africa, and maybe even into the Middle East, is people are basically buying Al-Qaeda in their country, where they're inviting terrorists into their country to go to the U.S. government and say, oh, we need terrorist anti-terrorism money because we have Al-Qaeda here.
Indeed. And we are coming up on a break. But Vicki, thank you so much for the call. We'll get into this and explore a little more when we return. This is Free Talk Live. You can call us at 800-259-9231. We look forward to your thoughts. We'll be back. This is Free Talk Live.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Stouffer's. Let's Fix Dinner. Find dinner ideas to bring your family together at the table at letsfixdinner.com. Juggling schedules so that everyone eats together can be tough. Try starting with one family dinner a week, whenever you can fit it in. Take turns picking the meal and have everyone pitch in. Working together will bring your family closer, even if it is just once a week. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.